You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Back on the Roto Experts, Mike and George taking around the games in this hour. Start sits, interesting kind of tidbits from these particular games for this Sunday. Obviously got off to a good start on Thursday night, George, with a 80-point total in the Thursday night game. Rams-Niners, not something we expected, but we got big performances out of just about everybody you needed. Goff, Hoyer, Hyde, Gurley, Pierre Garçon, Sammy Watkins, down the list. Big performances out of everybody.
Yeah, I said it was a funny game. I had my hockey draft that night, so I come home. You know, I'm watching the game, and I'm like, wow! I didn't expect much. And you watch it, it's a great game, right? I'm into it. But then it comes down, once the game's over, I'm like, oh, no, now I got to check fantasy. And, you know, I'm just praying, how many teams am I going up against Watkins? Am I going up against Gurley? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm not going up against Goff and Hoyer and too many. But you start to get worried about it. This is what Thursday night games come down to me after that. I'm like, please don't be going up against these guys. And I got to tell you, Mike, for the most part this season, I've been lucky as far as the Thursday night game goes. I have not been up against these guys. The Kareem Hunt week one when he went off, didn't go up against him. I did go up against Alex Smith, unfortunately. But even Thursday night, no Gurley for me, no Hyde, no Watkins. So no complaints here.
Yeah, I got beat up by Todd Gurley in one league, and I benched Pierre Garçon in two leagues. I think one of them, it will really come back to bite me. The other one, I still like the options that I have left. My thought process, I like Pierre Garçon going into the season, and this game is going to really have me putting him in the lineup more regularly. He got the 10 targets, 7 catches, 142 yards. You know, I just thought a Thursday night game up against a tough defense, I thought that was going to be a difficult spot for him.
I started him. I have been two leagues. I'm a big Garçon guy. The target's going, the volume's going to be there.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not always going to see a game like this where Hoyer's on target. He's catching all these balls, and Garçon looked like a beast. He was trying to show off whatever it was Thursday night. He wouldn't go down. He's making big catches. Catch on the sidelines with the talking smack. That catch on the sidelines where he has tippy toes in. Fantastic. It's a great game by Garçon.
Garçon's a really, I don't know, because he's bounced around now to a second team, I don't know if people realize the level of athlete that he is, but those one-on-one battles, Pierre Garçon's really good in those situations. So when he's a volume guy, it creates a very good fantasy player because he wins a lot of those one-on-one battles. So that's the deal. We're going to take you around all of the games for the rest of the hour. We obviously have a London game tomorrow. That starts at 9:30 Eastern time. That is Ravens-Jaguars. A couple of guys not making that trip, but you got football all day. Started on Thursday, gets kicked off real early tomorrow. If you're on the West Coast, well, you got to set your alarm. Make sure your fantasy lineups are good to go. If you got any Ravens and Jaguars in, get them in tonight. If you're going out tonight, get them in tonight and make sure you don't miss anything for the London game. So we'll come back. We'll talk about that London game. We'll talk about the remainder of the week in the NFL. A lot of good matchups this week, some interesting fantasy matchups. So George and I on the Roto Experts in the morning. We'll talk about it next on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Get into some games, get George's thoughts on these big-time matchups this weekend. I'm liking a lot of these matchups, whether or not you like getting up early for the London game. The rest of them will be good. But first thing I want to talk to you about is an ongoing program that we have. We're co-sponsoring this. And I'd like you to go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS or dailyroto.com/DKMS. And what we're trying to do is you're going to find out a lot of information there about DKMS and their cause, which is their mission is to fight blood cancer. So our goal is to have people either sign up as bone marrow donors or make a donation. Please help us by spreading the word about this DKMS cause. Now, I'll tell you, earlier this week, I was doing a show with other hosts on our network, Greg Sussman and Frank Stampfel. And one of our callers that had a lineup question was actually a recipient of a bone marrow donation. He's a healthier person to this day, obviously, because of it, helped save his life. So it was living proof that what we're trying to do, and he thanked us for doing this. We're not doing it for the thanks. We're doing it to raise awareness. And you can do it in a fun way. So you're going to go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS. And once there, you can sign up, find out some information, put yourself on the list to be a bone marrow donor. And you're also going to find a link to Fantasy Draft. Fantasy Draft is helping us with this cause. And you're going to go to Fantasy Draft, sign up, and play in a free weekly DFS contest. And the winners of that the winner of each week of that contest gets put into a grand prize week 17 pool. So we're going to have 16 winners each and every week. Week 17 grand prize, which is the prize of which, George, is
our trip to the big game.
That's right. Two tickets to the Super Bowl in Minnesota, Super Bowl 52. So if you win a week, you get to go in the Week 17 contest. And Week 17, the winner of that gets two tickets to the Super Bowl. It's free every week. You're not having to put up $5 or $10 to enter a DFS contest. So just sign up for free, play for free. And obviously, you'll learn a little bit more about this cause, which is something that we're really trying to support, and get a shot to win the Super Bowl. I have not done well in that contest as of yet, George. I haven't won any of the weeks, but I'm putting in a lineup every week so you compete against me, George, Scott Engel, and all the other people at Roto Experts and the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So there you go. If you want to hit us up with questions on Twitter, please do so at FNTSY Radio. George, we have a call, so we're going to take that. It's Kevin from D.C. You have a question, Kevin, about where to start a wide receiver tight end.
Yes. I have Calvin Benjamin and Larry Fitzgerald in my lineup now as my wide receiver. And I have Michael Thomas as my flex. But I have Kyle Rudolph starting my tight end, but I have Gronkowski sitting on the bench. I also have Isaiah Crowell. I was one of those unlucky guys that had that drafted David Johnson and Danny Woodhead, so I had to get on the waiver wire real quick.
Okay. So, got a bunch going on there. George, the first thing I noticed that he said is he's got Gronk on the bench. Gronk's playing, so you got to throw him in there, right? Right?
Yeah, you're putting Gronk over Rudolph. Bradford's out. That's an easy choice for me. Gronk goes in over Rudolph. Other than that, you're fine there, right? You're starting Kelvin Benjamin. You're starting Larry Fitzgerald. You're starting Michael Thomas. I would start all those three as well. Benjamin's going up against New Orleans. We already said, if you can't start your Panther players tomorrow, when are you starting them? Fitzgerald's up against Dallas. You're starting him anyway, but that Dallas secondary is all beat up and pretty poor anyway. So the only person sitting here is Rudolph, who we don't really like as much without Sam Bradford, and Crowell, who is just not as good as the other guys.
Like, even if Bradford was playing, you'd play Gronk. And if you needed, like, a second tight end and a flex, it's not a great matchup for Rudolph this week, even if Bradford was playing. His Bucks linebackers are pretty good. It's not a team that gets exploited terribly by the tight ends. So I think it's fair. I'm glad you called, and I'm glad we got it worked out for you. Just get Gronk in there. He's going to play. I know Gronk gets banged up a lot, but, look, if he's out there and he's playing – we're rolling with Gronk, right, George? It's just the nature of it. Yeah, I know it's the Texans.
He's a second-round pick, man. You're not sitting Gronk. I mean, I understand right. He's a pain in the ass because he gets hurt all the time, but you knew that going in. All right, that's something you're going to have to live with. That. He may not play a full game. That he's always banged up. Listen, every time he gets tackled, you're always praying, get up. Please get up. Please get up.
Yeah.
It's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, first couple of weeks, too, he was slow getting up a couple of times. So, but I think he's honestly been pretty open with reporters. Like, yeah, I'm a little banged up, but I'm going to be fine. So, anyway, let's move over to one Twitter question, actually. So, thank you, Kevin, for that call. If anybody else wants to give us a call, it's 844-843-6879, 84-FNTSY. Twitter question from Jason Hebert. He needs one running back. He needs an RB2 from Terrence West Buck Allen, Robert Kelly, Samaje Perine, Dante Foreman.
Okay. All right. We're taking Foreman out, right? Because he's the one guy we don't even know if he's going to start. So Foreman's out. I'm taking Kelly's out because I don't think he finishes that game, even if he does play. West and Allen. Man, I'm going to have a tough time trusting West here. Did he say what kind of league? PPR standard?
Does not say. Non-PPR.
Oh, that makes it a little more difficult. So it really comes down to me. Allen or Perine? I think I'm going to go Allen here, only because it's. I think he's going to play. We know he's going to play. I don't know if Perine does. If Kelly, and you're not going to know about this for game time, because I don't think Kelly be at the active until 7 p.m. That's a night game there. If I knew both are going to play and that Kelly was out, I'd go Perine here. I like Samaje Perine tomorrow night, but we don't know this. I think I'm going to play it safe and go Allen. Perine also has a game. Let's face it, the Redskins could be down. Maybe they don't run the ball that much here. I'll go Allen here.
It's a good question, but I'm going to do the same. So I'm going to do the same. I'll put the Buck Allen points in my pocket early tomorrow. I don't want to wait around for the Washington game to figure that out.
That's a tough matchup, too.
I know. It's not great.
There are no good answers here.
I agree with that. You know, it's funny because, you know, we all have different waiver wire approaches, conceivably, George. And when people were going crazy in the last week or so of getting other guys, Buck Allen was the one guy I really pivoted towards in a couple of leagues. I was like, let me spend a little bit of my budget on this guy or come in with Buck Allen here. Because they are a team that does dedicate themselves to the run. Buck Allen is versatile. They use him in a versatile manner. I understand he doesn't get all those goal line carries, but I like him moving forward, especially if West continues to be hurt or falters.
Yeah, this is an easy choice if West is actually out tomorrow. You know, we find out 8 o'clock in the morning, but I don't think that's going to happen either. So that's what makes it difficult. I just think there's a better chance that, you know, I think there's a chance that West plays but doesn't play much where Kelly is out. If I knew that for sure, I would go Perine. But even in that case, I think Kelly, we know what he can do in the game plan. And he'll be a part of it. Because I don't think if they can't run the ball straight, they'll get the ball to him out of the backfield. Where if they can't run the ball, if the Redskins can't run the ball against the Raiders tomorrow night, what's the possibility because they could be trailing or the running game's just not working? I don't know if they're going to flip the ball out of the backfield to Perine because guess what? Chris Thompson's that guy. So that's my logic there of why I'll go Allen over Perine. But that being said, I do like Samaje Perine tomorrow night as well.
He has additional question. Rudolph or Ebron? Same thing, standard league.
I'll go with, give me Ebron here. Listen, I think Rudolph's a better player here, but as we just said, it's Case Keenum, no Bradford. Could be a tough matchup tomorrow against Tampa Bay. And I think that Atlanta, Detroit game's a shootout. I think a lot of points are coming in the dome there. So give me Eric Ebron.
Yeah, and he needs two wide receivers from this list. It's the same thing, standard league. Brandon Cooks, Martavis Bryant. I think that's Crowder. He misspelled it, but I think it's Jameson Crowder.
Just those three? So one sits?
Yes. Yes.
I got to sit Crowder right now, right? They're a mess right now on the passing offense with the Redskins. Cooks, I can't sit him. I don't see a big game coming tomorrow. Martavis Bryant, wish it was at home, but it's still Chicago on the road. I'm going to start Bryant. I'm going to sit Crowder.
Martavis Bryant has really rough splits on the road. You could make an argument that he hasn't played so many games that maybe it's not relevant statistically yet. Ben obviously struggles on the road, but honestly, I think with it being close, just hypothetically here, it's not hypothetical. Martavis Bryant and Jameson Crowder are pretty close, right, in standard league. I'm going to take the guy with more upside. And that's Martavis Bryant just going off.
I'm going to take the guys with the catch touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. All pretty good questions. And there you go. So, George, real quick, Ravens, Jaguars, what are you expecting out of this game?
Slugfest. Really a lot of snot knockers, hard hitting game. Both teams are going to try and establish the run. I don't know if it'll work for either team here. It comes down to the passing game. I think the Ravens will get something out of the passing game with Jeremy Maclin and Mike Wallace. I just like them. Ben Watson's been pretty big. I don't know if I can trust Bortles. I think once again he'll put up some numbers if they get behind and starts chucking the ball over the place. That's when Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns become valuable here. But this game smells like that typical London game, kind of boring, kind of dull. 2017 final.
And Bortles aiming for his third meeting in a row with two touchdown passes. In his past three, games in London. He has 679 passing yards with four touchdowns. So it's okay. Buck Allen had 101 scrimmage yards and a touchdown last week. Four career games with 100 yards from scrimmage. So we talked about that Terrence West thing. West is going to play. I think it jams you up a little bit. So Buck Allen is, I feel like, been a guy that there's been a lot of questions about and will continue to be questions about up until game time tomorrow, which is 9:30 Eastern. So Mike and George be back. Talk about the rest of the games on the slate on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Sports Radio Network.
Heroes get remembered, but legends never die.
We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for joining the Roto Experts today. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, at FNTSY Radio, I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. George, I have a good friend, a good couple that I went to high school with. Robin and Sean, they live down in Tampa, and they were safe from the storm. All is well with them. Thankfully, they didn't have tons of power issues or anything like that. But it texts me like every week about her lineup issues, and her husband does as well. I don't know if they're in a league together or in different leagues and all that kind of stuff. But she asked me, Gore over Jaquizz Rodgers this week? It's actually a tough one. It's PPR.
Gore over Jaquizz Rodgers. I mean, if you would have asked me if Bradford was playing – I think that's an easy choice. But now that Bradford's out, I think it opens up things a little bit more for the running game. I think Tampa could be up so they could run the ball more in the second half. But that Minnesota defense is legit, especially at home here. Yeah, I'm going to go Gore here as well. I'm going to go Gore over Rodgers here.
Yeah, my initial reaction was Quiz, but in PPR, it's kind of a coin flip. So it is what it is. I think I'll switch it and say Gore. And Wentz over Prescott?
Yeah, I don't think I have a choice there. Prescott, it's going to be another tough game for Dak, right? He's going to see a lot of Patrick Peterson there. I think the Cowboys are going to run the ball more. I think it's going to be an interesting game for the Cowboys. We're going to find out what kind of team they are. They got the snot knocked out of them on Sunday against Denver, right? Got punched right in the mouth. First time on the Dak. All the losses on the Dak, the two losses to the Giants last year were close. The loss to the Eagles didn't matter. That nobody played. It was the last game of the season. And the loss to the Packers was close. This is the first time under Dak the Cowboys got the snot knocked out of them. I'm very curious, as a Cowboy fan and as an NFL fan, to see how this team reacts Monday night coming off a huge loss like this. I think they're going to run the ball hard. I think that offensive line is going to take control of that game. That'd be my guess there. I don't see a big game coming from Dak. It could be. They could get some short touchdowns. But the passing isn't really what they're looking to do here. I think they're established the run. Give me Wentz, especially if Janoris Jenkins is out again.
Yeah, it looks like Jenkins will be out too. So it certainly helps Carson Wentz in that regard, as well as Alshon Jeffrey. But the real reason I brought this up, because I told her I was going to do this. I was going to publicly shame her on the radio. She asked me if she should play Cam Newton over Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not even going to dignify that. No one plays over Aaron Rodgers, ever.
Right.
I sort of get the question. I mean, listen, just 2 years ago, Cam Newton was, the number one fantasy quarterback?
Yeah.
So I sort of get it, and we've been saying all show now. If you can't start a Panthers player, then why is he on your roster this week? They're playing the Saints. So I guess I get the question. It certainly doesn't hurt to ask here. But no, Aaron Rodgers should have a fine game tomorrow. It's in Lambeau. I don't know if I could ever not start Aaron Rodgers. And I'm a big fan of Aaron Rodgers.
I can't.
But my question would be, why did you draft Cam Newton in a one quarterback league if you already had Aaron Rodgers?
That I didn't get a chance. So that's what Robin, you've been publicly shamed. Don't ever ask me to bench Aaron Rodgers again. But I would also say you don't really have to have a backup. You can just stream the quarterback that you're the week that Aaron Rodgers is on a bye. Just you don't have to roster Cam Newton, and don't debate it every week. Just stick with Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or Tom Brady when you have those guys, and just put in the other guy. If you have another guy on your bench, just put him in for the bye week. Don't kill yourself each and every week hemming and hawing over who's going to be better. Are Brady and Breeze and Rodgers occasionally going to have clunkers? Yes, but statistically, you just want to ride it out and not just be pulling them in and out of the lineup because you'll drive yourself nuts getting it wrong. So, right, George, fair to say?
Is Breeze an automatic? Are we still putting Breeze in this category? Are we a little worried about Breeze?
I'm not that worried yet. I say that because
I'm a little worried.
Leagues.
The running game's a disaster, right? That's a cluster. That's not working out. Adrian, I was very wrong about Adrian Peterson. Michael Thomas has yet to take off, and I was worried about him. I always worried about receivers who were number twos their whole career, who had an ace number one opposite them, all of a sudden being thrust into the number one role. You know, it's a different animal when you're going up against the top cornerback and defenses are paying a lot of attention to you. So right now I'm a little worried before I say Breeze is an automatic. Yeah, if I had Breeze and Newton, I'm probably going Newton this week.
George, he threw for 291 and 356 so far. I know that the Saints stink, but Breeze as a fantasy quarterback, I mean, garbage time or whatever.
I got some worries here. I also think this is last year in New Orleans, by the way. I think they might move on as well.
I don't disagree with you. I think, unfortunately, he's the most popular player in the history of New Orleans sports. It's not going to be popular, but loading up on $25 to $30 million on Drew Brees has not proven to be an apt strategy for them. But isn't that really player evaluation's issue when they can't get the defense right at all? I mean, how many more players are you going to bring in that don't
work? Yeah, it says nothing about Brees. I think it's the team is just going to go in a different direction here.
Yeah,
Their defense is a huge problem. I mean, we saw that in week one, right? I think we had some hope during the offseason that maybe the defense, I'm not saying it was going to be great, but it was going to be average, which would be great for New Orleans. And then you see in week one, and like, oh, my God, it's the same Saints team it's been for the last couple of years, just starting everybody against them every week because they suck on defense.
And by the way, this move that I'm about to say probably went under the radar for a lot of people because fantasy owners don't care. The Saints just traded their first-round draft pick from 2 years ago for a fifth-round pick. It's a linebacker,
yeah,
Stephon Anthony. They traded him to Miami.
Stephon Anthony.
Right?
Yep, and I remember Stephon Anthony in the IDP league you and I play, and I wanted him in that league, and I didn't end up getting him. Took Perriman instead. And, you know, when that doesn't work out, it's a killer. You know, you draft the defense early, and it didn't work out. You know, you just got rid of him for a fifth-round pick. Miami, who's desperate for linebackers, took him. So it lets you know what's going on there. And I don't think we can knock New Orleans for that Anthony pick, because I don't remember too many people knocking him at draft day. It wasn't like Mel Kiper was, you know, on his little soapbox there yelling and screaming that it was a terrible pick. I think the evaluation was right. It just didn't work out for whatever reason.
Yeah, so Miami, as George said, desperate for linebackers. They pick him up for a fifth-round pick, so we'll see if he can work out in a new spot. You see that a lot. When guys just don't fit into a certain scheme or can't learn the scheme, they just move on. Like Reggie Ragland was done in a year in Buffalo. So here we are, Broncos and Bills, as I make a segue over to Buffalo. What do you like here? You know, last time they played each other in Buffalo, the Bills destroyed the Broncos, but that was 6 years ago. Teams are completely different since then.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. What I'm curious about here, Mike, is Simeon the real deal? Now, he lit up Dallas last week. Now, once again, it was at home. Cowboys would be up in the secondary. Maybe that's it. But he looked good. Right? They had a game plan here. They executed it to perfection. So I want to see if he can do it again. C.J. Anderson looked great too, right? The guy who saw Jake Seeley making the jokes on Twitter that, okay, so I was a year off. So I'm curious to see if that's going. I'm curious to see
off,
if that can keep it up. 2 years, that close enough. Buffalo, I mean, listen, what are you going for here? The only person I can think about starting outside of LeSean McCoy, he was an every week starter. I don't care how bad the team looks. Maybe Charles Clay. You know, maybe you have Olsen and Clay as your backup. So I can certainly see that there. Other than that, I'm not starting it. Jordan Matthews, no. Zay Jones, no. Tyrod Taylor, only in two quarterback leagues. Other than that, this is not going to be a pretty game for Buffalo.
I've seen a lot of Charles Clay questions, so I can't answer it. I can only answer it generally. He's in the tight end one range. So it really is going to be dependent on your options. If you had Kyle Rudolph or Charles Clay, what would you do? PPR.
Ugh. Charles Clay is really going to be touchdown dependent.
You realize
Buffalo did not get into the red zone last week?
Ugh. That's awful.
Did not get awful. That's pathetic. I think you said PPR, right?
Yeah.
I'll go Rudolph. It was standard. I'd probably go Clay, better chance for a touchdown. But I think I'll go Rudolph, even with Keenum at quarterback. Both teams are going to throw the ball a bunch. So, but I don't know if I think Clay is more touchdown dependent than Rudolph.
Yeah, we'll see if the Bills can contain C.J. Anderson, who's obviously off to a great start this season. Saints-Panthers, we've talked a lot around this game. That's 1 o'clock in Carolina. If you have any of these Carolina players, you're going to play them. I will make the one caveat with Devin Funchess. I don't know what your options are going to be. Devin Funchess is obviously a bench wide receiver most weeks. DFS likes him a lot because he's on the cheap and going up against a poor Saints defense. I mean, poor is being nice, but it's going to be depend on what your options are. I can't just tell you got to start Devin Funchess this week. I don't know who you're starting him over. So Benjamin is in. Olsen obviously out for long term. He's out 8 weeks at least. You got Christian McCaffrey, who people DFS likes again this week, and I like him because the Saints can't stop a nosebleed, can't stop anything. So that's really the long and the short of it, right? Cam Newton, if he's your number one QB, you're feeling good about this matchup in two QB leagues. But if you pose a question like Aaron Rodgers or Cam Newton, I'm going to shoot Cam Newton down. That's the bottom line, right?
Yeah, same here. You might want to worry. I mean, you're starting McCaffrey, but you might want to worry a little bit about him as Ron Rivera came out this week and said he's pretty much going with the hot guy. Yeah, Stewart's actually got more touches than McCaffrey, so that's somewhat concerning there. I mean, this is what I was worried about McCaffrey. I don't think they'll, in one offseason, they know how to use him appropriately yet. And I said this many times. I think it's going to take 2, maybe 3 years before they realize what they have in him and can use him in all the different ways that he can be used. In the slot, lined up outside, in the backfield, two man backs. You know, I think it's going to be a while before they actually learn that. So I think he's going to have a little trial, you know, sort of experimentation. Where it's not always going to be good for fantasy owners here. And if I own McCaffrey, and I don't in any league, even earlier than I was comfortable with, I'm worried about this now. Now they say it's going to be the hot guy. What if Stewart starts, you know, railing it up tomorrow against New Orleans? It's altogether possible.
This has got to be.
McCaffrey doesn't see as much action.
This has got to be the week for it to happen, right? He actually leads the team right now with 9 catches and 129 scrimmage yards. But as you said, there's some doubt being infused there now. I think this is the week that you can do it and feel confident about it. But if nothing happens this week, then you got problems. I think that's fair to point out, George. Steelers at Bears. We got really great matchups across the board for the Steelers. Problem is, George, are on the road.
Yeah, you said it correctly. Steelers are always playing on the road, but you're still starting Bell, Brown, Roethlisberger. I probably got to go with Martavis Bryant. You already talked about. The problem is Jordan Howard, boys and girls. If I can, I'd rather sit him this week.
We'll mention a little bit about Jordan Howard after the break before we get into the rest of the games. It's Mike and George on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Come back and join us.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Rocking out on the Roto Experts here for the next couple of segments. Getting back to the Steelers-Bears game, I did not mention the Jordan Howard injury. It looks like, George, though, he's going to play.
That's a problem. Which
puts you into the same bad situation that we have with Baltimore, that we have at Tennessee, that we have with Washington. There's a lot of starting, I put that in quotes, running backs that are banged up, and we don't know if they're going to get a full workload. I think Jordan Howard is the one that people are really people are concerned about. DeMarco Murray probably at the top of the list, but Jordan Howard is right there too, because there's a lot riding on these guys for people's teams. And Tariq Cohen, with his workload, seems to be a guy that can kind of at least take over the reins for a week.
The problem is with this. I mean, Howard does not have an injury designation. So he's not questionable. He's not doubtful. He's actually, now they're saying he's fine.
Yes,
by not having that designation, you're saying he's fine. Or he's probable, because there's no probable anymore. So that should lead you to think that he's fine. He'll finish the game. It's not a soft tissue injury. So it's not a quad, groin, hamstring. It's a shoulder injury. But they lead with their shoulder. You know, so, I mean, I don't know how much I'm liking this, Mike. I have Howard in a couple of leagues, and he's probably going to have to start for me in both. But in one of the leagues, I do have other choices here. I have Terrence West, another problem. I have Jacquizz Rodgers, Joe Mixon, too. So I could avoid him if I want, but it's, you know, I'm starting one problem over another problem is what it's going to come down to. Chicago, they'll always be trailing. So we don't know how much they're going to run the ball in the second half of games here. Right now, the fact that he doesn't have a designation, I'm probably leaning towards starting him. You drafted him in the second round, right? I don't think I could sit him.
Yeah, I mean, Tariq Cohen led the team last week with 8 catches. He leads all NFL rookies with 16 catches. He has, George, on the year, 21 targets, 6th in the league. DeAndre Hopkins, Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, Antonio Brown, Randall Cobb, the only guys in front of him. So, you know, really heavy workload right out of the gate for Cohen. I don't think you have any chance. I don't think you have any option but to start Jordan Howard. I don't think it's a great matchup for him. Steelers aren't the steel curtain of old, but pretty good defense. And as you said, he's banged up. So I think it's damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation. You'd feel pretty rotten if Jordan Howard got a goal line touch or two and you have him on the bench because you're worried about him not finishing off the game. You just hope for something early, you know, first drive, get him in, get him his 10 points and call it a day. Moving on to Atlanta, Detroit. This is the one that you expected to be a shootout, George. So expectations here obviously are a lot of points on the board and all hands on deck type of game.
Yeah. Once again, who aren't you starting here? You got the Falcons. It really Hooper, Sanu, Coleman would be the three guys you could make an argument for about not starting. Hooper, once again, is that was barely outside my top 12 coming into the season. Easily could be an Olsen replacement there, but I'm starting him here. Sanu, depends on what else on your roster here. Coleman, once again, if it's a PPR league, you want to go Coleman over Howard's, over the Terrence West, over DeMarco Murray's of the world. He would be a safer play this week. I wouldn't have a problem with a standard league. I probably do. That makes him touchdown dependent. And I don't know if he gets at the end zone here. Nobody really does. For Detroit, it's a same question here. You know, Marvin Jones, probably a yes for me. I think they're going to throw the ball a bunch. So I don't think they can run the ball tomorrow. But what doesn't Atlanta do well? And by the way, if you haven't heard this, you really haven't been paying attention because I'm far from the first person to say this. Atlanta does not cover backs out of the backfield well at all. So that's going to bring some value to the PPR leagues, to the Riddicks of the world. So he's somebody I like. I've already said I'm starting Eric Ebron over quite a few other tight ends.
Yeah, I do like Riddick. We got, on a show I did earlier this week, we got a lot of Abdullah questions because people are saying, well, here's my issue. Do I think Abdullah can get some work done? Yes. But given the game script that you just detailed, and it's the second highest total in Vegas this week, 51 is the over-under. The only game higher than that is Washington-Oakland on Sunday night with a 54.5. So, given that game script, I think it plays more to Riddick. A, because of what you said, they don't cover backs out of the backfield. And B, I think this will be a throwing type of game. They're not going to try and grind. Will they try to take the edge off the Atlanta offense by grinding it out with Amir Abdullah? Maybe. But that's not really what Detroit does anyway.
No, I agree with you, Mike. Plus, no Vic Beasley for Atlanta this week. And so the pass rush should be a little light
for
Atlanta.
Injury. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a hammy,
really,
right?
Bad injury. A month he's out.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I think you put it perfectly. They can try to grind out. Do they really think they're going to win this game 17-13? This game has 31-30, something like that written all over it for me. So Abdullah, really more of a flex consideration for me at best, and I'm probably staying away from it if I have other options there. But Theo Riddick is somebody who's in my lineup, PPR.
Yeah, he had 8 receptions for 74 yards and a touchdown the last time these two teams played as a touchdown catch in 2 of the last 3. Amir Abdullah led the team last week with a career high of 86 rushing yards. I think it says a little bit about where Amir Abdullah fits into the fantasy landscape right now.
It's a nice game against the Giants. Don't get me wrong. That's a pretty good game.
He's a nice player. I like him. I think he's a better NFL player than a fantasy option from a week-to-week basis. You're right. It's a flex consideration, but it depends on your roster construction. The game that everybody's talking about, George, Browns at Colts.
Woo!
Somebody's
going to win.
Yeah, exactly right. Stole the words out of your mouth. Sorry about that. But we did talk about some players already that we're going to play, right? We like Frank Gore in a couple of scenarios. T.Y. Hilton has been a question a lot. People thinking about, do I start to bench T.Y. Hilton now? We're still rolling with Tolzien.
Best of last week.
Yeah, we're still rolling with Tolzien, but this could be the week to start Hilton.
And I mentioned in the Scott Fishbowl, I did bench Hilton last week. I think I went with that. And then for the Scott Fishbowl, if you don't know, the tight ends get extra points. I forget what it is. So I started Zach Miller over him, and that ended up working out well for me. I will not do that this week. I think I'm still starting Zach Miller, but Hilton's back in my lineup. Because if I can't start him against Cleveland, once again, what am I doing? So he's back in there for me. I don't know if I have all that much confidence in him to have a big game. I'd love 10 points. I'll take that and run. So that's where it is with Hilton. I'm starting him, starting Frank Gore. Moncrief, probably not, depending on roster construction. And for Cleveland, I have to start Isaiah Crowell. Indianapolis has done a decent job against the run so far this season, which has been surprising because in preseason they didn't look like they could stop a cold. So I'm still starting Crowell here. Rashard Higgins, Mike. The guy who was 0% owned last week is now everyone's darling here. Yeah. He goes for me.
Vontae Davis is likely to be out, too. So you have even a better matchup here. So Rashard Higgins is a waiver wire darling this week. I do think dependent on who you have starting, you might have him on the bench, but it's a good look for him this week. So keep that in mind. T.Y. Hilton's really rough. 3 for 57, 4 for 49 to start the season. Only 12 targets so far. They got to get him the ball. So there you go. But that's Browns Colts real quick. Next game on the slate, we have Tampa at Minnesota. We've talked a bunch about the Vikings and how Case Keenum is in. I think that hurts everything. Dalvin Cook's the guy you're going to put out there, George, but I think obviously it changes expectations for him, right?
Yeah, I'm still starting Dalvin Cook. No choice, but you got to figure Tampa Bay is going to load the lineup, maybe even bring that eighth man down to stop Dalvin Cook and force Case Keenum to beat him. It's what I would do. I'm gonna force the guy with the least amount of talent to beat me. I don't think Keenan can do it. Maybe it opens a chance for a big play for Diggs and or Thielen, but I'll take my chances on that. But Dalvin Cook's still in my lineup.
Yeah, so Thielen and Diggs were the guys. The team that we had the most questions about was Minnesota, for obvious reasons, with Keenum being in there. But there were a lot of situations where we ended up benching Diggs based on your roster construction and Thielen. There was a lot of Thielen and Diggs questions. People are concerned. I'm concerned. And I think it's something that you have to go team by team, but unfortunately, Diggs, who looked like looked after week one to be an automatic start every week, I don't think he is that now.
No, not with Case Keenum. He's probably, once again, I think he's still probably close to an automatic start, but he's maybe in the flex range now, where now he's not the wide receiver two or three. But it kills him. It kills Thielen, too, for the same exact reason. And with Bradford in there, Bradford looked fantastic in week one. I know it was against the Saints, so we got to take with a little bit of a grain of salt here. But they're not going to do as much damage with Case Keenum. I think the game plan becomes more conservative for Minnesota without Bradford as well. So I have concerns here. I just got a question on Twitter from Chris. Diggs or Derrick Henry in a PPR?
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, I went Diggs if Murray's active, Henry if Murray's not. I'll play it safe.
That's
there.
Right. That's what I was
going to throw the ball with Diggs, so I'm not all that concerned about it, but the big upside isn't there anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he's a starting wide receiver. I can't take the backup running back unless I know that Murray's going to be out. Otherwise, I'm playing a guessing game with injuries. It's frustrating so far. I'm a Deshaun Jackson owner, and they've only played the one game, and he did have 7 targets, but it's just he's going to be a hard guy for me to figure out week to week. I know when I drafted him that's the case with him, but I don't think that this is the week that I'm all over him.
I agree. It seems like DeSean Jackson's having a terrible year because we haven't heard from him really since last year when you think about it. He didn't play most of preseason, and they had the hurricane in week one, so no game. So I get where the frustration can be there, and I don't know if this is the week for him either. That Minnesota defense is good. Xavier Rhodes will be on him. He'll be more on Mike Evans than anybody else. So he could get a good break there. But I don't see this being a huge passing game for Tampa Bay either.
Xavier Rhodes shuts down Mike Evans. He did a pretty good job against Antonio Brown. But if he limits Mike Evans, people are going to start to know who this guy is outside of, just analysts and stuff like that. Pretty good game against Antonio Brown, but to do it against Mike Evans is a total different story. The term shutdown corner is sometimes overused, but if a guy can take on Mike Evans and limit him, I think there's something to be said there. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk. I'll probably get one more game in. See what George's thoughts are on the Texans and the Patriots. It's Mike and George. We're back after this on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
All right. This is not like a British rock feel as we head into a week where we start our London games. So, first thing I wanted to talk about before we close out the hour, George, I did want to talk about DKMS. We talked about it earlier this hour, but I want to talk about it again because it's a really important mission for us along with DKMS to fight blood cancer. So go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS. Once you're there, you're going to find a link to Fantasy Draft. You're going to do that to play in a free DFS fantasy football contest that we're co-sponsoring with Fantasy Draft and with DKMS. There's going to be a new contest each and every week for the first 16 weeks of the NFL season, and the 16 weekly winners will play in a Week 17 final with the winner getting two tickets to, George?
The big game, Mike.
That's right. You sold it well that time. Super Bowl 52 in Minnesota. So you can sign up for free, play for free, and please go to rotoexperts.com to learn more about DKMS and their mission to fight blood cancer. As I said earlier, I talked to a gentleman this week who regularly listens to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. He received a bone marrow donation years ago, and he was thankful that we were doing this. Not doing it for the thanks, just doing it to get the word out there, and there's a fun way to do it. You can play in a free DFS contest and even have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So I put in a lineup there every week. I haven't been good so far, so I'll try to be better, and maybe I'll win some tickets. In any event, George, we're closing out the hour. You mentioned during the break, Zeke Elliott. What's the latest?
Yeah, now the Fifth Circuit's going to hear the case on October 2nd, which is after week four. And then it'll be a decision they make after that. The fact that they didn't have to hear the case. They could have just denied it outside, and they didn't. So that's a bonus for the NFL. So this is not over because you don't know. They could decide this real quick. The NFL could hear from them that week that, yes, we're upholding it, and he's going to be suspended weeks 5 through 10. So who knows? Only thing we know for certain right now is that Ezekiel Elliott will play week 3, which is obviously Monday night, and week 4, which is against the Rams next week. After that, it's all up in the air once again. Except the bottom line is we just don't know how long it's going to take the Fifth Circuit to hear the case. To make a decision. They could decide right away. They could take months. We don't know. So lucky us, we'll be able to hear about this and talk about this again.
Yeah, so Zeke Elliott news, I think you just have to wait and see what's going to happen. So the suspension could still happen this season. I think it's something you need to be mindful of. We're going to go to a call real quick to close it out. Braden from Kansas. You got to bring the heat. We only got a minute to go, buddy. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Hey, I got half-point PPR question. Flex running back. I got Isaiah Crowell or Buck Allen. Who you guys got?
Okay, George.
I'm going Buck Allen here. The fact that I would love it if it was a PPR, I would like it a little bit more. But I'm going to go Buck Allen. He's just done something. Crowell hasn't done anything yet. And I mentioned earlier, I don't know how, but the Indianapolis Colts, as bad as they looked in preseason against the run, have played the run pretty well through the first two games of the season. So with the half-point PPR, I'll take the points I know I can get out of Buck Allen.
So I'm a Buck Allen supporter. I've kind of been on board. I think in this instance, I'm going to take Crowell. George's reasoning is sound, but unfortunately, we're going to split it on you, and you're going to have to go to even more experts in order to break the tie. Pete Cozzadori, do you have a thought on this?
On what?
Crowell versus
pay attention to the show.
I got so many things going on down here. What's up?
Crowell versus Buck Allen. Pick one.
I got to agree with George. It's got to be Buck Allen. Crowell's shown us nothing so far.
All right. Well, in Pete's defense, he's a great producer, and he's got a lot going on. There's another show coming on right
He's
after
a Jets
this.
Fan. It's
we got
it's
like
all
a minute
Pete.
To go. Oh, it's whatever. He's
hockey starting soon, Pete.
I was going to say he's more of a hockey fan than anything else, but in any event it's close. I like Buck Allen, so it's okay if you start him, but I'd take Crowell going up against the Colts. I'm not a believer in that defense just yet. So that's it, folks. 2 hours up, 2 hours down. We appreciate you listening today. We got college football today coming up next. We got the weekend fantasy update. We got FanRag Fantasy Baseball. We've got the producers. A full day of content on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you for listening. Thanks for finding us. We're out until next week.